20 years of Homecoming, 30 years of the vocal band, 40 years of Because He Lives, 75 years of Bill Gaither, and the celebration starts right now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, it was 1936. That was the year, maybe some of you would remember, Franklin Roosevelt was reelected. The Hoover Dam was complete. The first superhero to wear a skin-tight costume and mask, the Phantom, made his first appearance in U.S. newspapers. And a heat wave hit Indiana that summer that set its all-time high record of 116 degrees. That was July 14th, 1936. Well, that same year also gave birth to such notable Americans as Kris Kristofferson, Burt Reynolds, Senator John McCain, and Muppet creator Jim Henson. But on March 28th, 1936, William J. Gaither was born. And this year he's celebrating his 75th birthday, among some other career anniversaries. He's with me now on Daniel Britt and Friends. By the way, happy birthday, Mr. Gaither. We're sitting high above Nashville, which is a very important city, I know, to you.
Well, it is, but I can't get over the 116 degrees that summer when I was born.
Yeah, I was doing some research, and that came up as the highest temp on record for.
And you know what? I've never liked humidity since. There's nothing like Indiana when it's hot and there's no air conditioning.
Yeah, I bet. Well, let's talk about Nashville, because you look out the window where we're sitting in these studios, which is overlooking Broadway and down the downtown scene. The Ryman's not far from here, and I almost took a wrong turn and ended up kind of stumbled on it, not being from Nashville. Mm. There's the Ryman. This is an important city. This is kind of where it began for you.
Oh, my land.
In a major sense, right?
Yeah. I heard my first quartet from a radio station in Indianapolis, and then got interested in in quartet music, because they had books that they sold, and on the back of the books they had stamps quartet news, which meant you could learn about not only that group but about other groups. And then somewhere I heard that on the first Friday night of every month on WSM in Nashville they had a radio program. So one night I tuned it in. Mindless. It was unbelievable. You know, in my mind I imagined what it would look like, but I kept, you know, just bugging my parents. And, you know, I can imagine kids growing up, you know, bugging their dad and mom about going to a Yankees game or going to a Cubs game. And that's cool and that's great. I wanted to go to the Ryman because I wanted to see who is a Hovey listener. I thought that's the most unusual.
Right, right.
In fact, for a long time in the GMA, I said, you ought to call that award the Hoveys. I mean, wouldn't it be? The Grammys, the Emmys, and we have the Hoveys. So
that's right.
I wanted to see this strange character called Hovey Lister and the Statesman. So we came down on the first Friday. And I had never experienced anything like it. I can still show you the seat that I sat in at the Ryman.
Yeah. And what your dad told you leading up to that was, now are you sure you want to be here this long and that early, and you know, this is a big trip, and I mean it's the same kind of stuff my parents and grandparents kind of told me, you know, now are you really sure, you know, you're going to get enough music in about an hour or two?
But well, it started because in the afternoon he was with friends. I said, Daddy, we got to hurry to get there. He said, well, for crying out loud, Bill, it's going to go all night.
That's,
I said,
right.
come on, we're going to be late. He said, okay. And it started at 7 or 7:30. Mm-hmm. He said, but you're going to sit there, and you're going to sit there until the entire thing is finished. At 2:30 in the morning, he wished he had not said that.
Yeah.
Because by that time, about everybody had gone. I mean, you know, because they had started filtering out about 12, but the diehards would stay. I suppose there were still 500 or 600, 700 people left. But I was one of them.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, a celebration of Bill Gaither and his 75th birthday, with some highlights from the Gaither Vocal Band, the Gaither Homecoming Series, and the Bill Gaither Trio. This is from a praise gathering in 1992. Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, with Bill Gaither celebrating his 75th birthday, among other milestones, and our conversation picks up here. When we were talking in another interview, and we were talking about homecoming and how that kind of started and took off, there was a line that you said, and it went something like this: "I'm a party kind of guy because I love parties." So, as we're talking about your 75th birthday, looking back over especially the ones maybe in, you know, since you've been married and since you've been an adult and all, how do you celebrate birthdays normally? How does Bill Gaither celebrate, or how does Gloria celebrate Bill's birthday?
You know what, in all fairness, I'm better at celebrating other people's anniversaries and celebrations. For some reason, birthdays and age is not really, you know, set me back or anything. I don't think much about it, and I usually don't try to make much about what I do. But that usually comes from other, you know, from my kids saying, "Hey, we're glad you've been around for 75 years."
So you never had a tough one like 40 or?
No, I you know, 40 was, you know, 40, and 50, I was so busy doing what I was doing. 60, I didn't pay much attention. And I didn't pay much attention at 70, but I started to realize after 70, because many of my friends were gone by then, you know, and and at least if they were here, they were not active. And I said to myself, "Hey, Gaither, this is a bonus." so we're halfway through this decade of the 70s, and I have to tell you today, my young friend, bat your eyes, and you will be 70 or 75, and after that, it's all a bonus.
Here's a song, Jesse, that we wrote for our little ones when they were about your age, and it goes like this. I wish you some springtime, some bird on the wing time for blooming and sending out shoots. But I wish you some test time, some winter and rest time for growing and putting down roots. I wish you some summer, cause you're a becomer with blue skies and flowers and dew. For there is a reason God sends every season. He's planted his image in you. I wish you some laughter, some happy thereafter to give you a frame for your dreams. But there'll be some sorrows and some rainy tomorrows with some clouds and some sun in between. I wish you some crosses, and I wish you some losses, cause only in losing you win. Oh, but best of all, I wish you some growing, and I wish you some knowing that there's always a place to begin. You know, your mommy and your daddy would love to collect you and shield and protect you and save you from hurts if they could. But they must let you grow tall to learn and to know all that God has in mind for your good. Never could own you, for God, he only loaned you to widen our world and our hearts. So we wish you his freedom, knowing where he is leading. There's nothing, there's just nothing, Jesse, can keep us
apart. But when my feet did falter, my heard me pray. He said, tell them when you saw me, I was on my way. Well, God, tell them when you saw me, I was on my way. I was climbing up the mountain to the land of endless day. With my face toward the sunrise and the shadow far behind. Well, God, tell them when you saw me, I was on my way. Now, if you should get to heaven before I see that man, you just listen to the angels and join that singing band. And when you see my Savior in the land of endless day, just tell him when you saw me, I was on my way. Well, just tell him when you saw me,
ago the accident happened that we all know now as the Homecoming series. And you look back over the past 20 years, that's a significant amount of time for something that started accidentally like that.
And you are right, it was an accident. It was going to be a one-time thing that I was just going to do to say thank you. And I did the second one because the first one was so good without any kind of planning, because as I said, we were just gathering around the piano to take a picture, or maybe a couple, three pictures. And then that exploded. So I said to myself, I could do that better if people do like that. And they did like it. It blew my mind how much they liked it. So the second one, we spent more time getting set up. We had, rather than one mic, we had maybe 8 or 10 mics. Rather than one camera, we had 4 or 5 cameras. And that was good, too. And I said, I can do it better than that too. And then that was also a big hit. And then the next one, we started spending more time in preparation to do, and not knowing how many we were going to do. We thought maybe we'd do a couple, three or four or five to cover the history. And the early ones basically did cover the history. Somewhere along the way, they started taking on a character of their own.
would argue that it was an effort on your part to copy something from the past or to try to resurrect something. It was an accident, as we've all seen, and I think you could tell that from that first video. But do you think there was anything in earlier decades and other styles of music, even, I mean, like Lawrence Welk or Dick Clark, do you think anything else preceded the whole homecoming concept in other genres?
You know, the one thing that did trigger me, I saw a brief, like, 5 or 6 minute video on the group from Atlanta who did "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" Was that the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band? And they had some old timers in, and I can remember seeing that and saying, "Well, that's cool."
Yeah.
Because there is nothing as divisive as music. I mean, the next generation thinks that they're the first cool bunch that ever came along, and they're cool for a year or two or three, and then and then they become traditional,
you know.
And then there's another group that's more cool and has cooler things to show. That is not so much the case in gospel music because the message is so much out in front, and the package does change from time to time. But probably Southern gospel stays closer to its roots than probably any other genre of music. Maybe bluegrass would be a good example.
On the flip side of that question, looking into the future, and I know nobody can predict it accurately, but like 50 years from now, not in a copycat kind of format, but do you believe that community is so important and the community of artists getting together and making music together, that there will be some kind of something that may kind of trace its roots back to a homecoming kind of a setting?
Oh, I'm sure, I'm sure there will be. You know, one of the big motivators for that was the fact that these guys just, I say these guys and gals, older guys and gals, just could not wait till the next time to get together and drink coffee and tell stories. I mean, that was a big thing. I mean, they just, because they were not as active then, and some of them had really retired. So this was just great. I mean, it's always fun to relive your youth, you know, and to be able to do that and have somebody be excited about it and even pay money for it, it's just pretty amazing. And plus, the other good thing about it, because I'm still a teacher, I taught for 10 years, I believe that it's very important that we keep telling our young people that something happened before you came home.
It's a celebration of Bill Gaither's birthday, 75 years. It's also the celebration of 20 years of homecoming. And as we talk about throwing a party, it's true. People have said it before, I've said it, that Bill Gaither has made this career of making a platform for everybody else, and he kind of gets out of the way. And that is to be applauded, I think, when you go back and look at what you did, like you say, for the old-timers who are in retirement, wanting to get together and drink coffee and share stories, and then you do a video series and then a tour. You made it real easy for them. I think that was very apparent, that you gave them a place of honor, and you made it easy for them to come out and have some of the luxuries that were well-earned. 30 years ago, there was a quartet that was kind of birthed out of a Gaither Trio concert,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's been a 30-year, maybe, accident, if you want to call it that as well. It's
you know
been
what,
amazing.
Daniel, most of the good things that have happened to me, I've just backed into. And that is one of them. And we did one night on a trio concert, because back in the 60s, when we started writing, we just had my brother and in the beginning my sister, and then later on my wife and I doing what we did, mainly to get our songs out there. And we're not the only songwriter who did that. I think Bob Dylan said, you know, nobody else can sing these crazy songs, I'll sing them.
yeah, there you go.
And so we wanted people to hear this stuff that we thought was quite good and could make a difference, you know, in their lives. When I look at the Bob Dylan career, you know, not everybody can sing what he sings,
sure.
but had he not sung them, probably some of them would not have got out there, especially a reading like Something About That Name. I mean, only Glory could do that. So we did that for about 20 years with quite a bit of success. And then one night, just for the fun of it, Gary was our lead singer then. We said to our backup singer, Steve Green, not a bad backup singer, Lee Young, let's get around the piano and do Ice Cream, Ice Cream,
right.
Ice Cream, Ice Cream. Let's do some harmony. And then the vocal band was born. And for a while, had quite, we had some problems trying to figure out who we were. Mm-hmm. Were we contemporary? Were we traditional? Were we Southern Gospel or what? But we finally got our legs, and in all fairness, the homecoming videos helped that too, dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
There is a mountain I'll cross over. I cannot see the other side. Will it be home or just another mountain to climb? I can't decide. Fortunately, I'll climb with a friend, one who would carry me on to the end. There is a mountain I'll cross over. Fortunately, I'll cross with a friend. There is an ocean I'll sail over. I cannot greet the coming tide. Will it be still or stormy weather? When will I reach the other side? Fortunately, I'll sail with a friend, one who will ride with me on to the end. There is an ocean I'll sail over.
That I gotta cross over. There is a mountain that I gotta cross over. There is a mountain that I gotta cross over. There is a mountain that I gotta cross over. There is a mountain I'll cross over. I cannot see the other side. Will it be home or just
home on high to see my Jesus in his glory and to reign with him on high. I'll be so glad to see my mother who has gone on to that land. Oh, but I long to see my Jesus and by his side to stand.
Without a father, without a mother, I had to make this journey by myself.
Sometimes,
heartaches seem endless. So many sorrows I have known. But I know my Lord will call me to that mansion
in the sky.
And I shall reign with him
forever in that sweet home by and by. So many times my heavy burdens have borne me to my knees. But then I pray, oh blessed Jesus, won't you help me? To my rescue,
I no longer
have to cry.
And
so I'll keep my Savior with me on my journey to the sky.
Celebrating Bill Gaither's 75th birthday, among other milestones, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
We had some letters that were written in to a special email address in celebration of this, and this is from Kelly, and she calls herself Mr. Gaither's neighbor to the north in, is it Wabash, Indiana?
Wabash.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's her question, and I'm sure you've gotten this, and I know the word retire is not really in your vocabulary, but here's the question. When you retire, will the vocal band be retired too?
You know what? I have not thought that far, Kelly, because I've not even thought about retiring. So probably if I were real wise, I ought to start thinking in that direction, because I think there's a place for a group like the vocal band out there. My only concern always with all of our changes has been, are we upgrading? Mm-hmm. Are we making it better every time we do change? And that is not always the case with groups.
Right.
Because sometimes, as my dad said, they didn't trade up, did they? I think they traded down and down. And there could be an argument for anybody who leaves, sure. You know, that they did trade down. But my big concern is that they do keep up the quality of what we've done.
Center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Ooh, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. You're the center of my joy.
When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way.
Lord, you're the fire.
You're the fire and the light when the nights are long and cold.
Even when I'm so
in
sad.
Sadness, the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold
my hand. Sweet, blessed Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. You're the center of my joy.
Oceans give up all the dead that are in them. The graves open wide to set captives free, and those who are roaming the earth to meet them. Abraham the seed, as the sands of the sea.
These are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have their redemption.
a strong, mighty arm. Their voices are ringing the great cloud of witnesses, sings freedom's song as they enter.
About anniversaries, it just kind of popped onto my screen that I believe this is the 40th anniversary of Because He Lives, the song that I think is very important in church music, especially churches. That's one that no matter what denomination, you seem to find it's in the hymn books now. And we can talk about He Touched Me and maybe the commercial success of He Touched Me, but in the church music circle, would you agree that Because He Lives is very, very significant there?
It's pretty amazing. We were in Nantucket about 4 or 5 years ago, and I went down to an old historical Methodist church. And a very important church in the island. And went in and opened the hymnal. There was Because He Lived, and He Touched Me, and there's something about that name. Mm-hmm. And, I forget what else, something beautiful. Yeah, for whatever reason, Because He Lives has surfaced to the top. And in the beginning, the trio had sung it. Doug Oldham had sung it. But I think the person that probably took it uptown for church choirs, because our music was pretty country and pretty laid back. Ron Huff, the great arranger, came along and started to arrange our tunes. And I think it took us to a whole new world. Mm-hmm. People who said, man, I haven't heard this. Where did this come from? And so I think when he came along and did the musical, Hallelujah, it changed our perception in the organized uptown churches.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that He gives. Oh, but greater still
the calm assurance we can face uncertain days because He lives.
And because He lives, I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives.
And then one day
densest of foggy nights, and a tune is the rope that can throw a man hope when he's going down for the third time. It's a sweet melody that can cut your heart free from the chains of a past defeat. You can suddenly see through the sweet harmony a path for your wandering feet.
I'm gonna sing just as long as it takes for a song to be sad and your spirit's free. I'm gonna keep making music that carries the secret that Jesus is liberty. I'm gonna turn off the sound that would drag people down to the pit of despondency. With the sweet happy tune, He is coming soon for His children like you and me.
Don't tell me the world is a hopeless old place and I might as well just give in to the doom and gloom. Life's a waiting room for the blow that'll do us all in. I can't sympathize when before my eyes is a hope shining bright as day. I gotta follow the song that keeps drawing me on with my feet dancing all the way.
I'm gonna sing just as long as it takes for a song to make sad every spirit's free. I'm gonna keep making music that carries the secret that Jesus is liberty. I'm gonna turn off the sound that would drag people down to the pit of despondency. With
the Gaither Vocal Band and a significant contribution that's been made through the life of Bill Gaither to gospel music. Hey, this party's not over. The celebration will continue next week. Let's refill the punch bowls, go out and grab some more snacks, and toss the confetti. It's Bill Gaither's 75th birthday, 40th anniversary of Because He Lives, 30th anniversary of the Vocal Band, and 20 years of homecoming. I'll see you back here next week for part two.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.